Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Tobin. And surely, one of these days, when I get to heaven, I want you to look for me at Jesus' feet. That's the first thing I want to do. I want to fall on my knees and worship him. And then, after I receive my crowns at the judgment seat, I want to cast them at his feet and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Go back with me to the book of James. Let's go into the third message of the series, the Christian and their burdens. I am aware of something. I am talking to burden people. We're blessed, but we're also burdened. This pandemic, this coronavirus has affected everybody in our world. And it has stuck its ugly head right into the church's business. It's been a sad thing not being able to meet here on Sunday night. Here we are on the 31st, and nobody's here but just us pastors. What's a burden. By the way, we've been enduring for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Lord willing, now we don't know this for sure, but we hope next Sunday we'll have our Sunday school back right and our Sunday evening started back, and we're looking forward to it. But look at James chapter number 5, and let's go down to verse 13, and I'll read to the conclusion of the chapter. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Our Father, as we enter into this third message concerning the Christian and their burdens, help us tonight as we deal deeply in the scripture. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. The theme of this great book of James is spiritual maturity. And his outcry is, grow up. I will say this as your pastor. There's some of you in my church. I love you. I pray for you. I care for you. But I want you to know something. I'm going to say this with boldness. Grow up. You've been saved. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. In God's mind, you're already glorified. I want you to know something. We need to grow so we can glow. And we need to glow so we can grow. Go. Amen. Do you know that James, the writer of this book, grew up in the same house as his half-brother Jesus? And you know, when Jesus resurrected, the Bible said over in the seventh verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians that he appeared before James. See, James was kind of a person that had a lot of unrest in his life. He was a problem child growing up in that home. But Jesus appeared to him, knowing that one day James was going to be a pillar of the church, a picture of humility, and a great writer of Scripture. We have talked about healthy patience. We have talked about people that make hasty pledges. But tonight, as we get into this chapter, I want to deal in these verses with heartfelt praying. Mature Christians learn how to pray. See, prayer is a tool and the secret to power. You want power? You pray. Amen. Now, ain't very many people that I'm talking to today, you would go all day from the time your feet hit the ground until about 6:30 in the evening before you ate. You just wouldn't do that. And why is it that when you get up in the morning, your feet hit the ground, why aren't you praying? Why aren't you talking to God? Why aren't you communicating? Amen. Let's look at several things from this passage. Verse 13, let's look at a suffering Christian. Look what it says. Is any among you afflicted? A suffering affliction. Many of us have afflictions. What do you do when you're afflicted? Verse 13 says, you pray. There's got to be a praying time. And then, is any among you merry? Let him sing songs. Not only should there be a praying time, there ought to be a praising time. Woo! When Paul was in the storm, out on the ship, he said, be of good cheer. Amen. Be of good cheer. The angel of the Lord, who is I am, appeared to me and said, we're going to make it. I want to tell you something. When you're afflicted, you ought to pray. But then there's a time when you're merry, you need to sing. Paul and Silas, when they were in the prison at midnight, they sang. Now, I wrote something down. I put some stars here. Come on now. When your trouble comes, your struggle comes, and your burden comes, you're just not going to be able to jump out of your phone booth, Superman, and pull your vest out and be able to conquer the world. No, no. See, you don't learn God at the night. Actually, you learn God in the light. Somebody help me preach. And if you learn him in the light, you won't doubt him in the night. Somebody say amen. Thank God. Angels don't get to sing, but Christians one day will sing a song. The angels can't sing. Then I'll see, secondly, not only a suffering Christian, but sinful chastisement. Is any among you, any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him. Anoint him in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Thank God. Now, the context here. Now, I know there's many applications, Jared. We apply it. If somebody gets sick, they can call the elders of the church and we'll pray over them, anoint them with oil. And that is the application. But that's not the interpretation or the context. The context, actually, this person most likely was sick because of their sin. Come on now. And he needed healed of his sickness, but what he really needed, he needed forgiven of his sins. In 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul was dealing with the Lord's Supper, here's what he said. There's many sick and many sleep. You know, there's a lot of people suffer chastisement because of their sin, and they get sick. And some of them commit the sin unto death for a Christian, and they sleep. God help! And God help us all. Wouldn't it be terrible that we got so far away from God that God had to take us out of here? Whew. See, the process was individual adversity. He was sick. And it had an initiated appeal. He called for the elders of the church. Now, they didn't call for him. He called for them. Now, we see these, you call them faith healers. I call them fake healers. The sick don't call for them. They call the sick out of the auditorium. Hello, somebody help me preach. I'm preaching now. Then I see an important action. Pray. Not slap somebody on the head. Not slay them in the spirit. But pray. Oh, I know I just offended about 500 people. You still believe in healing lines. And somebody popping you on your head. And breathing on you. And slaying you. I remember years ago. I had a woman. That's right. Sitting about right across from you on that side, Jared. She got up and started shimmying. And I rebuked her in the name of Jesus. Because she's almost getting ready to be slayed. And you know, she stopped in her tracks. And a few people criticized me. Said, why'd you stop her? I said, if it was real, I couldn't have stopped her. Bunch of emotional junk. Help me preach. Then I see an indicated anointing. See the sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The healing is not in the oil. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Somebody help me preach. Then I see an infinite authority in the name of the Lord. The healer didn't do anything. I want all y'all to know something. That was a sign gift of healing when men healed others. And we're not operating under signs now. We're operating under the scripture. Somebody help me preach. I don't know if you remember this, Jared. I don't know if you do. I'm sure you're a sneaky little boy back in the day, so you probably do. I remember years ago, as a dear lady, and I loved her, but she was sick a lot. And her daughter, sick a lot, so they went to a faith healer. And some of my ordinary church members taped it on the television. They saw her on TV. And they taped it and laid it on my desk. I'll never forget. That woman come up, that faith healer, and he bopped her on the head. She fell back. She said, well, he said, what faith are you? She said, well, I once was a Baptist, and now I'm a Pentecostal. And what, 2 weeks later, she's back in the hospital. Now, I'm not making fun, but I want you to know, a faith healer can't do anything. It's God that heals. If you believe in Benny Hinn, you ought not to be left alone by yourself. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen. Hey, there's just one infinite authority, and that's his name is Jesus. Let's look at a third thing. I see a successful conclusion. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, the prayer of faith. When Paul was afflicted, he prayed, but God didn't heal him. But God gave him grace. You know what? I believe God answered this prayer. But I want to make a statement. Because the context is someone that committed sin, God might not have necessarily healed her physical body. He healed a real problem, and that's sin. And there's some of you listening to me right now. You know what your real problem is? It's sin. And you need healed of that sin. And maybe then God will also heal your body once you get your sin right. Woo! Then the actual product, the Lord will raise him up. Whew. See, that's not man taking credit for it. It's God getting the credit. And God still heals bodies. But we ought not give credit to man. We ought to give credit to God. Then I see an able person. The Lord will raise him up. Thank God for the power of the cross and the ability of Christ to raise you up. Hallelujah. Verse 15, I see an abundant pardon. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Thank God for God's abundant pardon. The biggest need of mankind is forgiveness. No, not being cured of a heart problem. Not being cured of cancer, but being delivered from sin and letting God heal you of your sin. Then I want you to notice in verse 16 as we continue. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avail of much. And fourthly, I see serious confession. You know, as some of you listen to me right now, you know what you need to do? You need for the first time in a long time, seriously confess your sins. Somebody help me preach. I see a particular accountability. Who confessed? He sinned against God and he sinned against them. Now I'll tell you, I want to say this. I'm a pretty softy, Jared. There's been people sin and got sideways in church. And you know, just got away from God and away from church. And you know what I done? I just let them come in the back door and not do right. Because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. But you know what they needed to do? They need to confess about their sin and then confess to them that they wronged. Hello. I know some people, apology is not in their vocabulary. They're not ever going to say I'm sorry because they don't think they're ever wrong. Oh, they can call people names. They can make accusations toward the church. They can say stupid stuff and never apologize and just keep on going on. But he said, confess your faults. I see a prayerful activity. Pray for one another. Hallelujah. We need to pray for one another. And we need to restore those that have sinned. Now let's go on. I see the productive activity. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The productive availability. God don't always just heal the physical part. He always will heal the sin sick soul. Then I see the powerful actuality, the effectual fervent prayer. That's powerful. When's the last time you've got on your knees fervently saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I've been pathetic. Everybody knows my bad attitude and my bad actions. And God, fervently, I'm calling on you to get me right and help me to stay right that I can glorify your name. Somebody help me preach. That's good preaching even if I am doing it. Then in verse 17, I see spiritual character. I want you to notice this. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions, as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And didn't it rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months? Spiritual character. Elijah was a spiritual man. But can I say something to you? Jared, Chad up there, can I say something to you? Elijah, the man that prayed the fire down, that killed 850 Baal's prophets. One woman ran him out of town. He wanted to quit, got up under a juniper tree, and wanted to die. You know why? He was a human person. He had like passions. Let me say something to you. Don't ever say you can't fail. Don't ever say you can't fall. You know, there have been some times in this old man's Christian life, my human person showed out. Yeah, I did. I've had some failures as a Christian. Oh, yeah, I have. I'm not proud of everything that's happened in these 47 and a half years since I've been saved. But I want you to know something. I am thankful that God looks at my humanity and looks at my heart and loves me and cares for me and is concerned for me. And I'm just a man of like passions. See, I don't wake up on Sunday morning, come out of my phone booth with a Superman cape. Be honest with you, I'm a human, frail person. Just like Elijah, a man of like passions. But aren't you glad that God could take that kind of man, that kind of person, and use them? Then I see humble petitions. Elijah was a man of like passions, as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Humble. You know what God hates in us? You know what God hates in us, Jared? He hates our filthy, rotten pride. And don't say you don't have it. And don't say you're beyond it. Because you're looking at a preacher. I'm not beyond it. I went down to Bloomingdale Salem Baptist Church at a pastor's fellowship. It's been probably, 27, 28 years ago. Actually, 28 years ago. I met a man there that I knew for a long time. His name was Bruce Young. Bruce, in just a couple years, became my assistant pastor. I was there and I was sitting on the front row, and all of a sudden this elderly man came up. Well, there's about 50 preachers there. And he came up and he said, folks, now I'm talking about Bruce Young. He said, I got too much pride in me. I am a prideful man. And he came down and got on the altar. I thought, dear God, if he's realizing his pride and he's a whole lot better Christian than me, I think I need to get up there with him. That day is the day I said, Jared, I was going to hire that man. Any man who had such humility but admitted his pride impressed me. And I want you to know that kind of humility and that kind of prayer turns the head of God, changes the heart of God. Then I see holy practices. Elijah was a righteous man. Then I see heavenly provision. He stopped the rain. Hey, we need some prayers that can stop the rain. We need some people that will get in the gap right now and start praying about this pandemic, that we can get this old thing passed away from us. Now, some of you are making fun of me. You said the only thing will help us is a vaccine. Well, what if they don't find one for 18 months? I say there ought to be some praying people asking for heavenly provision that God will stop the rain and God will stop the pandemic and God will heal our land. Then I've seen habitual persistence. And he shut the rain off for 3.5 years. Hallelujah, somebody help me. And then he prayed it back on. Woo! I got that kind of God. And I got that kind of, hey, listen, we got that kind of faith if we'll just use it. Now I want you to notice the sixth thing about this passage. In verse 19, let's show that, Jerry. Brethren, now you're not talking to sinners. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, then I say a straying child, a straying Christian. Come on now. Somebody said don't pray and preach on backsliding. We Baptists don't believe it. We might not believe it, but we practice it. And you know what? One of the things we need to do, we need to help the fallen and those that have strayed. Hey, we need to be pertinent brethren, because there is a possibility of backsliding. Then I say a sincere concern. And one, convert him. I'm talking about pursuing genuineness. You know, Jared, it's easy for us to point our finger at somebody that's fallen. It is easy for us to say, oh, look how bad they are. But you know what we need to do? Instead of pointing our finger at them, we ought to go out and try to help them. Somebody help me preach. We ought to pursue them genuinely. Listen to this statement, Jared. People really don't care what you know until they know that you care. They don't care how much Pastor Smith knows, and they won't even realize my knowledge until they realize I care. I care for fallen people. I care for hurting people. I've been a pastor here for 42 years, and I think I've been known most of my time for giving people a second chance, to telling them that there is recovery ahead and that they can prevail even though they've fallen. I remember years ago, a young man started out good and he got away from God. He got a real mess in his life. Eventually he died, committed to sin unto death. He lost his marriage and lost his children. And he came to my office, weeping and crying. And he said, Pastor, I've embarrassed you. I've embarrassed my wife. I embarrassed everybody in my community. And I've lost everything. And tears was running down his face. And I took that dear man, put him in my breast, kissed him on the cheek. Just a young man, somebody I was so fond of. He helped me with my son, and he was such a great influence at one time. And he was just trembling there. So, is there any hope? Eventually, he died alone. Probably the saddest day when I went to the funeral home. Walked up to the casket, didn't even recognize him. I wept. Then I see in verse 20, personal gain. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from error of his way saves a soul from death. This one man died, Jared, prematurely. But what I'm trying to do now is to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and tell people, even though they're hooked on pornography, hooked on drugs, hooked on alcohol, sexual deviants, that God will give you a second chance. And that we can get some people helped. And then I notice lastly, practical grace, and shall hide a multitude of sins. There is nothing like a believer loving on somebody and giving grace to people. It'll hide the multitude of the sins. And there are people that are in the gutter, that are straying people, that need us. You may be listening to me right now lost. Maybe your problem is the needle in your arm. You're shooting up heroin on a daily basis. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe you're on pornography. Maybe your marriage is broken up and you don't think there's any hope. Can I tell you this preacher loves you? Can I tell you there's mercy with God? Can I tell you there is a way back? If you're lost, all you need to do is get saved, realize you're a sinner, realize Christ died, Ask him to come in your heart. Just say, dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. And then there's some straying Christians. You about ruined your home. You about demolished your children. Your life is right now a failure. Come on home. Come on home. Come on back. I'll accept you back. I'll forgive you. But better than that, God will forgive you. Oh, you're a Christian and you're so burdened. Come and take your burdens and lay them at his feet. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to pray for that sinner that's listening, for that struggling, burdened saint. Help them right now. And I'll praise you and honor you in the name of Jesus for his sake. Amen.